Good morning, everybody. We are continuing on with our studies of Nefyomi Erdin. We are on Tet Vav Amud Aleph, right at the very top. So we are still talking about the fixing of mavois, and today we are talking about starting talking about lechi. So Itmar lechi omed me'alav abaye omer havi lechi rava amar lo havi lechi. So if you have a lechi that's freestanding, so Abaye says that's considered to be a lechi, and Rebbe says it's not considered to be a lechi. So when we say freestanding, what does that mean? So that could meaning that it's not, it could either be that it's, we'll get to more of the Gemara. So the question is when it says, is it freestanding, is it that it's not, is that it was there before, or is it that simply it's just not going to the law? So hechi the law, so here we're going to, so now first a lot of questioning. So hecha d'lo samchinan ale miyatmo kuli amal lo pligi d'lo havelechi. So now if we have a case where, let's say, there happens to have been, you know, there was a somebody had a they nailed a post to the wall for some other reason, or let's say if they had placed the or let's say there's just happened to be something else that could serve as lechi in the right place. So, would that work? So, right, so everybody seems to agree that if nobody knew that it was there before Shabbos and didn't think this is the lechi for the mavoi, then it's no good. Keep ligi hecha de samchin on alei mi'atmo. The question comes down to, if you saw it when you're walking by, and you're like, ah, that's my lechi, good. There's a post there that I don't have to bother today. Putting one off. So, abai amar habe lechi de ha samchin on alei mi'atmo. All right, so Abaye said, that's fine, as long as I said, that's my lechi, even if I didn't touch it and do anything new, that's fine. Rava Amar, lo be lechi. Kevde mikara, lo vadate, dehasi, abide, lo ha be lechi. On the other hand, Rava says, no, because you have to have made it explicitly with intent for it to be a lechi, and if you didn't, then it's no good. Kalsal to dachnech, kehechi, bligi, belechi, bligi. Not bligi, lami, bimachi. You may have thought that they disagree, with regards to a lechi, and they would also disagree about a mechitza. But actually, no, it's not, that's not the case, because a wall is a wall, but a lechi serves a different purpose. As we mentioned, a large part of the purpose of a lechi is for hacker, to remind you of something. Therefore, because its purpose is different, you can't simply say that it's there just because there's a heavy post. But for a wall is a wall. So, Tashma.
So Rabbi, sorry, so that means even Rava would say that if the wall was there before and they didn't realize it was there, then it would be no problem. It could act as a wall in regards to Erev?
Correct.
Correct. So it's just Lechi they're arguing about.
Okay. Correct. Because if there's a wall there, there's a wall there. We're not talking about a case about if a wall, like, you know, somebody built a wall on Shabbos. We're not talking about that case right now. But in general, like, there's a wall. You just didn't realize there was a wall there. Because, like, let's just say you just didn't walk that way. Like, so let's say, you know, your air fell down on Shabbos. And it turns out, though, that actually, you think the air was down, but it turns out that before Shabbos, somebody put up a wall, put up a fence there, like, right underneath where your wire was, like, where the entrance was. Even though the wire fell down for, like, the Tzurut HaPetach, so you still have the wall there, so you're still good. So Tashma. So now we're going to talk. Now we're talking about a case of Omer Me'alav comparing to Sukkah. Do we do a lot in Erevin? If we do, we compare what the Erevin case with something similar in Sukkah. So Tashma. Right. So now we're talking about trying to make a Sukkah with the trees on one side. Number two. That's diagram number 200. Can you have them be? Can you have a tree being a wall? So. So how does this work? You planted trees in order for them to be the wall of your sukkah. If you planted them for that, then of course it's going to work. So Mahudatame, I may have thought, the problem is maybe you'll start using the tree itself and start attaching things to it, and then you'll end up maybe bringing up a branch or something to fix your stuff on Yantiv. Mashmalan, it's fine to have a tree as one of the walls, but again, this is referring to when you have planted the tree initially for some purpose. So
Rabbi, is there a question of muktzah for the tree, like on Shabbos?
Yes, yes. In general, the trees are treated as if they're muktzah because of the zereshem, because of the case of maybe you'll end up breaking off a branch. But for here, that wouldn't apply because you're not really using you're not sufficiently actively using the tree. It's just kind of standing there, so therefore it wouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Looking at it, I mean, the fact that you're able to see it is all that it accomplishes.
Right.
But if it's in your sukkah, you still might come in contact with it.
Right, but we're not worried about your coming in contact with it. Then we're worried about whether or not we're not worried about if it's simply being a wall, because you don't use a wall. A wall tends to just simply stay there. So that's not sufficient usage of a tree where we think you might end up breaking something off or anything else. Whereas if you wanted to hang something on the tree, so that's the case, we very well might break off a branch. But all you're breaking off a branch when you're simply, you know, using it as a wall is very, very low. Therefore, they didn't make it there to bottom for that purpose. Okay. So now we have another case involving trees. So Dashma. Hayasham Ilan O Gader O Chitzat Kanim Nidon Mishum Diuma. So if you have a tree, a fence, or a barrier made up of reeds that are, you know, kind of like that would weave into be a hedge, that's diagram number 201 is more of the interwoven hedge. Also we see here in diagram number 203 as well. Right? So we see that there's a so the bet is the reeds. Okay. Right, so that that's like a reed fence. Okay, that's self-standing. Kadera, simply any fence. So that's bet. That's just there's that. Yeah, there's Gimel, right? That's the normal wall. And then we've got, right, and Elon is the tree in the corner there. So in all those cases, it's considered to be a valid Dumad. When I say Dumad, we mean it's a post that goes in two directions, which means that you can count it towards both walls. Let's say if you're doing, let's say, toward a pedal on each side, or if you're using it for, or if you're doing it for Pesach Birot, like, which we, we dealt with a little bit, we'll deal with more later, that let's say the way you allow usage of a well on Shabbos. So those cases, so then all these things, if they're placed in a on the corners, they can serve as a fence in both directions, assuming they're of sufficient size. So I was gonna ask you, so how does that work? Right? So this would imply that it's there. You didn't mean it to be there, but now it's valid as well. You don't say you put up any of these things; they were there already. How come Nami Maaskina? So I want to say this case too. Just Sabbath Kilokach. You put these things there. You put them there in order for them to be part of the structure. Yehaki Ma'ika Mashmalan. So if that's the case, so then what do we learn out from here? Mashmalan Chitzak Kanim. What we learn about from here is the case of what's there within three, when they're all within three tefachim of each other, as is what happened with the Machloket Abai and Rabba when we were having before, similar to what we were talking about the discussion of Lavud. So there's an argument in Abai and Rabba about which we'll get to, about whether or not they have to be, whether love would work only horizontally or vertically, like is it do the slats and does it work in both directions, vertically and horizontally? So that's what it's teaching us. That's proof for that one. It's not a proof for here. It's really proof for something else. That both vertical and horizontal love would work. Okay. So now we're going to go to this diagram. Go. So, okay. So here, so that diagram is number 204. Okay, right. So just a zoomed in photo of the way the reeds are making the corner. They're saying there, there's a gap in between. Not that it's like, you know, it's fully interwoven. Like if you ever, like let's say if instead of the bamboo mats that go on the skull, you decided to stick it into the ground instead as a wall, right? It would work for that. So I can recommend it not to though, because, it's not the sturdiest of walls. If you try setting up like that, it tends to fall over, but pretending you had a sturdy enough one, then that's basically what they're talking. So, Tashmat. Now we're talking, now this is another case of another tree and how its walls work. So, Ilan HaMesis al Haaretz, Im Ein Nafog Gavom in Ar Shosha Tachim, Matatlin Tapta. So now we're talking about a case where you have a, a tree with very large branches that droop towards the ground and carry underneath it. So if the branches reach within three tefachim of the ground, you can carry underneath it because it's considered to be its own area. So when do we allow you to do that? Only when you plant the tree for the outset in order to sit underneath it and use the air underneath it. In that case, that's when the branches can then become a wall, but if not, they do not be able to become a wall. Here, so that's, you see then diagram number 205. We've got this guy sitting there reading underneath, I think he's reading, underneath the tree. And so then there's the gap underneath. That way it makes his nice little reading area, and there's walls surrounding him on all sides. Right, so it's not really see-through, because if that was the case, you wouldn't really have the sufficient walls, but we're assuming that it's surrounding him properly.
Sorry, Rabbi, one quick question about intent on this one. I mean, it would take forever for the tree to get that size from the time that you planted it. So are we saying that, you know, 20 years in advance, he plants a tree knowing that eventually it'll grow to that size with branches that hang down, and then when that happens, he can then use it this way?
Yes.
Okay, because, I mean, the intent is pretty separated from the time that it's usable that way.
Correct. Like, a lot of times it happens, let's say, with the melacha of Zareah on Shabbos, right? You're not planting now so that it'll be ready in 10 minutes. You plant it now on Shabbos. If you're planting your seeds now, it'll be ready in a couple months. Or let's say if you're planting a tree, then let's say you also plant a carob tree, so then that you can have up to 70 years till you get fruit.
Yeah, I remember that story. But does it also work if the person who originally planted it had that intent, and then someone 20 years later buys the
property? Of course.
Yes.
So the intent was when it was planted, not you, but the intent of the planting.
Correct.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, you read my mind.
Excellent question.
Good, Joel. We've been learning enough together. That's good.
We're in sync.
Okay. So, teaming on. So, ihachi letaltel bakulo. So, if that's the case, you should be able to carry it no matter how large the area is. So, amar ravuna braid de rav Yeshua, anatal limbo elevates at times. So, there's actually a limit of the carrying underneath one of these trees, and the limit there is Beit Satayim, which is the area that you could plant two worth of grain, which is 5,000 cubic amma. So, right. So the question is, why is there a limit? It's because Mishum Dehave Dira Shetashmish Shal Avir. Chol Dira Shetashmat Shal Avir Ein Metatlin Ba Ela Beit Satayim. This is because this is a not fully enclosed, right? And it's not a fully enclosed area meant for an individual to use, right? So then it's Tashmish Alabi, right? It's used for the open air behind it. Purpose isn't really living there. It's people around can then serve to use this area. So it's not like you made a tree, you planted a tree. Let's pretend you had a tree that would plant and become a tree house. Right. Let's say they're really good at, you know, bioengineering, and they managed to pull that off. Right. You need to plant a tree, come back in 3 years, you got a house. So that would be a case where, you know, it's not the official out there. But this is saying, like, no, it's like you planted it there. People will walk in, you'll sit underneath it and read. So it'd be nice. But then that's not the same. That's not so. But isn't it simply a tree that has usage for outside? It isn't meant to be like a place where you actually sleep and eat and everything else. Then it ends up being then it has a limit on size of it at time. Just not a small area, but it is a limit. Okay, so Tashma. So now we're talking about another case about time for things. So Tashma, Shabbat, Batel. So this means if you decided to rest for Shabbos on top of a hill, and then Shehush Gavoa Asara, Hu Arba Mog. And so you're on top of some sort of hill, and it is ten amot tall, and it is at least, and its surface area is at least, meaning it's like four, either 4x4 or or Beit Satayim. V'chein b'nekash shehu amok. Similarly, if we happen to have a cavity or some hole in the ground, it would be the same case. V'hu me'arba amok ad Beit Satayim. V'kama k'sura v'shivot mekifa ota malech et kula kutzala alpaima. And then let's say there's indentation, which isn't necessarily itself. So, also, if you had if let's say you're in a wheat field, or North America, you're more likely to stand in a giant cornfield, right? Let's say you're standing in a corn maze. So if the stalks surrounding you are of sufficient area enclosed and are sufficiently tall, then you can walk the whole area and get an additional 2,000 amot around it, meaning this is considered to be a valid structure for living, to the extent that if you're resting there, you get 2,000 amot to walk through, and you get the area that's enclosed, which we were assuming from the previous one, but it's considered to be a residence enough. They get the 2,000 amot surrounding, which would mean that you're basically, even though you didn't intend to, nobody made this mountain for this purpose. Nobody dug this hole for this purpose. Nobody planted these stalks of grain for this purpose. Yet, at the end of the day, you're able to use it as a structure for Shabbos, and it's considered to be your house. So therefore, it would say that you don't need kavanah anymore. Right, that you don't need kavanah when you first planted it, as long as it's sufficient, the structure gets good enough.
Rabbi, are we talking about a tchum here?
About what?
Are we getting into the idea of tchum? Or no?
We're just saying, it was mentioned in passing. Here, so just look at the diagram. So we've got the guy on the top of the hill, guy inside the, the indentation in the ground. We've got the guy, surrounded by the wheat field. So, we're saying that when it says you get 2,000 amot around it, it means that this area is sufficient. It means that this area is being used as your home. And it's not just that, this is a undisclosed location you can carry within it. It's saying, no, this is an actual area that if you happen to be sleeping there, then it becomes as if it's your home. So that implies that it's more.
Even though it's outside. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
So, v'chitem ha'kanami shasa mitchil kach. So, let's say you made this intentionally for this purpose. So, like I said, we were talking about before, you're planning everything. So, Bishlama Kamal Chaye. So, I understand how you'd have done it in the standing grain. Alatel Veneka, Mike Lemmer, but like, how could you have done that for a small hill and for a hole in the ground? So, Ella. How would it work? B'mechitza kuleyam lo pliyid havi mechitza. We all agree that in all these cases, that if there are walls, it doesn't matter. So therefore, should be fine. Ki pliyi b'lechi. Right? So you're right. So that previous case, that wasn't talking about uses of it for, right? So you're right. That's a conclusive proof that for walls, you don't need any kavanah. Right? But we don't want to know about walls. We want to know about lechis. Abaye the Tame. So I'm saying now we're going back to the discussion between Abaye and Rava about which things need or do lechi or mechitza, do they require them by themselves, do they work or not? So Abaye the Tame. So everybody's mechitza works. So now we're back to lechi argument. So Abaye says lechi b'shem mechitza. Lechi works because it's like a wall. Mechitza suya me'aleha havi mechitza. Basically, Abaye says a lechi is a wall, works like a wall does. So therefore, since lechi works as a part of a wall that you will then extend across, therefore that's sufficient. Rava Tame, but Rava on the other hand says, Damar lechi mishum heker. He says no, the purpose of lechi is to remind you. And so Rava is saying no, you have to put it there yourself, because if it's simply a natural feature that you didn't put there, that's nowhere near good enough indication. Now. Right, so that's a lot of the argument. That's what they say. Now we're gonna try to figure out which way is the halacha at the end of the day. Teshma. Avne gader hayotzot min hageder udalot zamizu pachot mishlosha and sarach lachiyacher. Shlosha sarach lachiyacher. So So if you have a wall that has, you know, that has some rough stones sticking out of it, and each one are different from each other less than three, you don't need another lechi. That's sufficient. That's enough to be your lechi, right? So that's diagram number 210, right? So let's say either used to be a wall there, or just they did bad shoddy construction, and therefore they're not, it's not flush. So assuming that it's sufficiently recognizable, that it, again, it's sticking out, and that there's, and the gap between them isn't more than three tefachim, so we can love the whole, all the bricks together, that's sufficient. So, but if it's more than three, then you need another lechi because love it isn't working yet. So Hakanami Shibanam Miskilakas. So you could say that they built it for these purposes. That's why they stuck it out like this, so it could be used as a lechi. If that's the case, of course it would work because you built a lechi. What you thought to say? Maybe you thought that he built it, and so that way he could later build another structure, right? Because basically, as you can see in the diagram, right, it looks like, right, like you could fit more bricks. Just if he built one wall for now, but it's like, I'm gonna get an extension later. I don't want to have to, like, you know, take down this whole wall and put a new one up. I want it to be structurally sound, and if you don't crisscross the bricks, it's gonna be bad. So that's why he built it that way. So, Shmuelon, that even if it looks like you built it for sake of extension, because you built it with both intent in mind, or at least with intent of, you know, this is supposed to be lucky, that's good enough. Even if people look at it and are like, he's in the middle of construction, he didn't do it on purpose. But as long as you, the person who did it, had intent, that's sufficient. Okay, so that means we haven't really proved anything yet. So let's keep trying to figure out whether or not you need intent for lechi or not. Tashma, the time of bechia kotel shetzido achad kanus b'chaverau ben shenir b'vachut shav b'fim ben shenir b'fim shav b'vachut zido mishum lechi. So we have a case. So now we have a case where we have walls of differing lengths. My diagram here. So that's diagrams. Okay, the diagram is back on number 100. Let's scroll back up there. Okay. So, a moment. I'll get to the right diagram. Here we go. So this is the case. This is in the corner here, 110. Right. So you have where the wall narrows. And we're saying that's sufficient to be a lechi. It doesn't matter which one's out, which one's in, as long as there's an indication there. There's a recognizable gap is enough for your lechi. So Hakanami, so should that work? No, Hakanami should have something to look at. Rather, why did you make that uneven structure on the edge over there? Also, you did that on purpose in order to allow for the purposes that we're talking about now. Not that, so as in therefore, we still haven't resolved our argument. Okay. So let's get back to here. Okay. Why do you do it? How much? What's going to say? Rather, it's teaching us that this is showing you that you could, that even if from inside or from outside, one of them doesn't notice that it's a lechi. As long as one party inside or outside sees it, that's enough for it to be a lechi. Okay, so let's try again. Tashma. The Rav Haviyativ Bahum Avoat. The Rav was once sitting in an alleyway. Haviyativ Ravuna Kamein. And Ravuna was sitting in front of him as well. Amar Lashame. So, and then he said to his attendant, Zeal Iti Li Kuza Demain. He said, go bring a pitcher of water. Adda Ata Nafalakya. Then before he came, then the lechi that was by the mavoi fell down, which means that he wouldn't be able to bring the water into the lechi for them to drink. Akvi Le Abide Kam Adukte. So, therefore, Rav said stop, and then, like you see, like, yeah, he waved off the attendant, and then that was that. So Amar Leh Ravuna, Lo Sever Mar Lismoch Adikla. So then Ravuna asked Rav, what about relying on the tree by the entrance, right? The palm tree by the entrance. So Amar Demai Hai Rabbanan Command Lo Parshi In Shishma Tata Mitzamchin Ralei Metmal. So he says. So he leads off with he starts with an insult. So who is this, what is this scholar, this person from amongst the Rabbanon, as if he has not actually learned anything, has not heard anything from the rabbis, because you clearly never heard of the concept of Semchalav Metmal, Right? So you didn't hear that somebody has to have intent, have had in mind to put it as a, malachi from the day before. Right? So what do we infer from the story? Learn here that the reason why that tree is no good is because you didn't have intent to, or not because you didn't build it, but because you didn't remember to say, this is my tree. But if he had said, this is my lechi, without, he didn't have to replant the tree. Because he said, that's my lechi, that would have been sufficient. So now we finally have our answer. Is do you have to have planted from the beginning or not? So according to Rav, it seems pretty clear that as long as you had in mind at any point, that's sufficient, not that you've had to have planted anything in the middle. So, Lema Abaye Barava B'dalos Amchina Alaya Balibi. So let's say that Abaye Rav's opinion isn't about did you plant it for the intent, rather the question of did you remember to say this in my lechi before Shabbos? If you'd said this is my lechi, then the tree would be fine. Both look about this. No, that's not right. Because Dahu, you wouldn't necessarily have thought that. Dahu barka, dahava bebar chavu, dahavu pligi ba by brava kulishnayu. Right, this is not the case because there was a certain balcony that was in the house of our Abbo, that Abaye and Rava disagreed about their entire lives, meaning that they were arguing about whether or not this, let's show the guy's very nice porch. So he has this porch by the entrance, right. So there's the mavoi, and then there's somebody's got a nice house with an extension going out. And then the question is whether or not you can count this pole as a lechi for the mavoi or not. And they always argued till the end of their lives. So therefore, that means actually no, they didn't. They never agreed. They still disagree. If you hadn't, so that means the argument is whether or not if you said this is my lechi, does it work or not? Because if they're still arguing, then they start arguing about that. And that's the conclusion, is that Rava and Abaye argued about that. Okay. Now we're up down at the Mishnah on the bottom of Tevav Amud Aleph, going on to Tevav Amud Bet. So, Makol Osin Lechayayin, Bafil Devar Sheish Baruch Hayim. You can make a lechi out of anything, even if it's alive. Remeir Osin, make out of things that are living, because maybe, it'll move. So, Matam Mishum Golo. And another Machloket is about using a living creature as part of structure. So Tanakhama states that you could use a living being to cover up a burial pit, and then it will become tame because of tumat golel, i.e., because it's a grave cover. Rabbi Meir said no, you can't become tame. That wouldn't work. So you can't. The animal would not become tame. And similarly, Tanakhama says you can write a get on top of an animal, like in its hide while it's alive, or on its horn. Rabbi Yossi Hagwili says you can't do anything to a living animal, no using it as a wall, no using it as a cover, no using it as a get. So, Gemara. So, Tanya. So I'd be bright to support the Rebbe's opinion in the Mishnah. Rebbe Meir, Omer, Kol Dvar Sheish Baruch Chaim, Eino Sinato, Lo Dofen, Lo Sokov, Alech, Lo Mavoy, Lo Pazli, Garav, Lo Golo, Lo Keber. So this is stating that Rebbe Meir says, no using living things as walls, or as roofs or covers, as he says, anything that's alive can't be used for a wall for a sukkah, can't be used as a lechi for an alleyway, and it can't be used as boards to surround a well, nor can it be used as a cover for a grave. Rabbi Yossi Hagwili Amru, Afen Kutzin Alav Gitin Hashem. Similarly, Rabbi Yossi Hagwili says you also can't use it to write again. My time Rabbi Hagwili. So now we have to figure out what is the opinions behind Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi Hagwili. So my time Rabbi Yossi Hagwili. Tanya Sefer, Ainli El Sefer. So Rabbi Yossi Hagwili says that it has to be a sefer, it has to be in a scroll of some sort and a living being is not the Sefer. So, Minai Laravokal Devar. And then how would you say that anything grew on anything? Tomalamar Khatavla, Mikomako. So Khatavla will seem that you can write it on whatever thing you want to write it on. That's sufficient. So Imkain, Matumulamar Sefer. What does the Sefer say? Lamar Law, Mas Sefer Devarship. So for the Tanakam, you believe that's the progression of the stuff right there. Everything included at the end. But for Rabbi Yossi, Aglili, Imke Matumud Lamar, said, what's the Sefer teaching us? Lamar Lach, Ma Sefer Devar Sheim Bo Chayim Be'inu Ochel, Af Kol Devar Sheim Bo Chayim Be'inu Ochel. So therefore, it teaches at the end, what can you use? So it can't be alive and it can't be food, because it's alive or food, then that's not considered to be a Sefer.
Rabbi, what are we talking about, using a live creature for mechitza? We're talking that it's alive, or it was alive. Like,
it is currently alive. You decided to tie your goat to the, you know, so it won't be able to move with a very short leash, or like you strap to the wall and there's like left it there. You don't have any wood available, but you had your goat, and right before Shabbos you decided, let's just tie my goat to the wall and we'll call it a day.
And what about the writing on it? Like, you're writing on a
Yes, writing on a live animal, because I want to divorce my wife now. She, you know, she burnt my soup. So I'm going to take, and I went out, and I was hurting my sheep or my goats, and all I have is my goat. So I'm going to write it on the side of my goat, hand it to my wife, and then I'm going to walk, and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
Is it advisable? Would it be advisable? No, but like, if you wanted to be very disrespectful in the way that you were giving your get, that would be a pretty good way. Not that anybody
it's not good for a marriage proposal, but maybe it's good for a cat.
Correct. I don't know. If your diary is a very fine sheep, maybe she'll like it. But yeah, I would recommend it.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to pull wool over her eyes, though.
Yeah. So now we discussed Rabbi Yossi Gulli, why he says that you can own the white house, why it can't be alive or food. Rabbanan mikti b'sefer. What does Rabbanan do with the word b'sefer? So the Rabbanan say, it doesn't say b'sefer, it says sefer ktiv. Basirot dvarim ba'alma hu data. It means that it simply has to be something that you can use to take account of things on, which would mean that as long as you have the language of the get written on whatever it is, that's all that matters. Rabbanan hai mechatavla my darshi bay. The Rabbanan, what do they say? What do they learn from mechatavla? Humabai b'ktiva mitgareshet v'ana mitgareshet v'keset. Rather, what does it teach us mechatavla? It means that in order to divorce your wife, you have to have written something out. You can't simply divorce her by giving her money. Tzagatat techamina ho'il v'itka shitzia levaya. Ma v'ayla b'keset afitzia v'keset. Mashmalan, no. Just like you can be Kaddish a woman and have her marry you by giving her money. Similarly, you can divorce her by giving her money. That doesn't work. Also, this drasha, right? So the question of why you're allowed to be Kaddish a woman with a shtar is learned out from the fact that you divorce her with a shtar. Right? So they were trying to see if you can reverse the other way to learn that the things that you can only be Kaddish woman with, you can divorce her with. And here it's saying, no, you can't do that. Okay. So now we're back to Rabbi Glili. So Rabbi Glili, high spur manale. So wait, so then Rabbi Glili, where does he learn out that you can't divorce a woman with money? Now Kalaim is Sefer Kritut. Sefer Korta, Vandarza Korta. This is Chatavla Sefer Kritut. Right? So the next word. So it says Sefer Kritut, it means that a Sefer is something that can be divorce her, but not money or anything else. It has to be something written, and that's where he gets the button. And for what is written on, that's what his previous verse addresses. Rabban on high sefer kritut mibaylei ledavar hakoreit beno levena, and the Rabban uses the word sefer kritut to teach us that has to be something in writing that will differentiate you from her. Look at it, Tanya. It's just stated that right. Arein zekitech amnat shlotish deyayin amnat shlotech li levet davich olam en zekritut. So, for instance, you're trying to tell divorce women with certain conditions is not considered to be a valid get because that's not truly cutting it off. So for instance, like you cannot tell a woman to never drink wine ever again or never to go to her father's house and for that to be a valid divorce. So therefore, that doesn't work. But for all the first, if you sell for 30 days, that would work. It's completely unreasonable to expect, as a condition of divorce, to say, never go to your parents, to your father's house, and never drink wine. But you say, if you really are serious about getting divorced, don't go home for a month, and don't drink wine for a month, that's a reasonable expectation. That's considered to be sufficient amount of differentiation between her and her husband and being karet to sever between the two of them. So that would be fine. Rabbi Yossi Aglili nafgalei mikaret mikaret kritut. So and Rabbi Yossi Aglili turns out because it is in from the karet part of kritut, right? So right because the word the fact that that meaning because you could have written something saying say for karet for just for cutting says kritut means that it has to be not only that we have before for the Seder Kritut Rasha, that it has to be something that is written. It's also saying that it is something that is different between him, between, it's not just exclusion of money, but it's the exclusion of money, and it has to be a proper document of ending the marriage. Without any weird conditions. Rabbanon, Karet Kritut Ladarshi. And the Rabbanon say, it's not sufficiently different of a word for us to need for there to be another drasha. That's where they stop. Okay. Next Mishnah. Here we go. So we're going to address the Mishnah as far as how we'll go. We'll see before we get down on the page. Probably start with the Mishnah on the bottom. Okay. So Shara Shachan to Bika the Gifua Klei Behema Matal Tzalein B'Doka. So now we're talking about animals. Well, here are the animals. So, the Galen, but if a caravan was camped in a valley and they decided to take off the packs of animals and surround themselves, then you can carry inside. V'vach shehei gader gavoa sar tzachim v'ohi pritzot yitzerot al binyan. And that works as long as the wall, i.e. the piles of stuff, are 10 tzachim tall and the gap, and there's not more gaps than there are walls. And as far as the size of the gaps that are allowed, they can't be more than 10. Because as long as they're less than 10 amot, that means that it's an entrance. But if it's more than that, then it's aser. Okay, itmar. So we stated earlier, which you've mentioned about the question of parts, remember omit, right? So now we're trying to figure out the case of Paritz ke'ome, idmar. Paritz ke'ome. It's exactly equal. What's the story? Rav Papa Amar Mutar. Rav Papa says that it's fine for exactly equal amount standing versus the amount that's empty. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua Amar Asur. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says no, they're exactly not the same amount of open versus standing. That's a problem. That's it. Rav Papa Amar Mutar. Why does Rav Papa say that it's allowed? This is Alak Moshe Sinai. Don't break more than half. Rav Huna Breder Shua Amar Halkeg Mary Rav Huna Moshe Kedor Ruba. So it's kind of like the glass half full, glass half empty. So was the statement? Don't have half that Hashem told Moshe. Was it don't have it be most majority open, or is it cover most of it? Right? Like fence at most. So depending on which way you go, when you get to 50%, will it be good or no good? Done. Go to the Mishnah. Lo yiprotzo yitzerot al binyan. It's also said in the Mishnah, you can't have more, gaps than there is a structure. Ha ka binyan mutar. So that means if there's more, so it's that Mishnah said, if it's more gaps, then it's a problem. But if it's exactly ka binyan mutar. That means that if it's exactly the same that it's mutar, lotema haka binyan mutar. No, we don't mean that. Elema im binyan yater al pirtsa mutar. Rather, they mean to say that if the structure is more than the gaps, then it's mutar. Don't say that that's exactly equal. That's not the mission that's talking about at all. Valka binyan mai, asur. So then, but it's equal, the gap and the buildup space, Is it Asur? That was the case. The language would have been, don't make the gaps equal to the structure. Kasha, you're right. So we can't prove anything from the Mishnah, from the language of the Mishnah. So we're going to keep going. Tashma. But don't we have a case that if you're building a sukkah with skewers or with bedposts, and if the gap between them is equal to motan like them, shera, then it's good. So that implies that it's that equal, it's fine. Now, what is the case there? Where the skewers are able to be moved and unmoved. So that's why we say that's the case. Is it possible can we even calculate that? Can we calculate things exactly to that precision to know that they're exactly in half? Why is it okay? It's because you're adding on the roofing. So that's why it's not the same. Because when you have the sukkah, there's also the roofing on top, and that changes the calculus of the part that's Ruhel Ome. Because there's a roof there. Okay. So Rava Amar, Rav says, Im hayu netunin erev, no sheti, shti, no erev. So Rava said, so make sure that it works, case where it's exactly equal. So basically you should make sure to put the, you should make sure that when you build it, you should build it perpendicularly to solve the problem. Right? So that let's get to the, do we have the picture here? Yeah, so basically, if it's standing vertically, you should do it horizontally and vice versa. Okay, so here, now let's just, we'll review through the pictures. Okay, so we started talking about the case of, we're going to scroll through quickly. To summarize what we covered, and we'll see what's the touch on the bottom, tomorrow. So, we talked about the case of a freestanding lechi. Do you need to have kavana or not have kavana? We brought proofs based on use of trees for sukkah, or based on use of branches for sukkah, or use of walls. Trying to figure out, do you need to have kavana from the outset or not? Talk about the case of a tree for shade. Talk about the case of again, read on the corners. Talk about the case of a tell of if you have a a mountain working and its walls. If you have a dugout area, does that work or not? Of the case, if you had a planted field in the stalks, we try to figure out. But the case, let's say if we have rocks going out of one side, if that works. So in all those cases, we determine them to be inclusive. In all those cases, we're saying, was it done based on the intent of originally or not intent originally, and then we finally had a statement of the Bayan Rava where they argued about the case of the person who had the house with the beam sticking down on the bottom to support his extension, that they always argued about that. So therefore it meant that they always argued everybody agrees if you plant it to be a wall, if you plant it intentionally, then it would be fine. And everybody else agrees that if it's a full wall, it also works. They just kept arguing over the case of this is a freestanding post, not necessarily planned for that purpose. Can you say this is my lucky or not? And that's what they argued about on other days. And then we got to the case, and we started talking about the case, about living animals. Are they considered to be valid things to use to cover things? Including that is machloket, whether or not you're allowed to use living things or not, based on drashot, Peter Biosiguli, and Reed Meyer. And lastly, we started talking about the case of if you were about a caravan and from trying to learn from there, the case of the majority being open versus majority being closed, and which way does it work or not work. And the conclusion was that or we haven't really fully concluded yet, but we said that a way to solve the issue is one of the ways for Sukkah is that you should always do, if you think it's exact, if you do perpendicular, then there'll always be a little bit more. So if they're all lined up in a row, then you might wind up with that being exactly having a problem. But if half of it is covered and the schach is going the other way from the walls, then there'll be always a little bit overhang. And that'll solve a problem, as you can see in the diagrams down here on the bottom. That once you're doing that, then that'll give you a little extra overlap will be enough to make it no longer 50/50. It'll give you a majority good sukkah. And that is that. And if you want to see them all in one big picture where they're, like what a camp might look like, that's the picture over here. So we'll hopefully get to, we'll eventually get to all of the different pieces of it, tomorrow.
Yeah,
have a good day.
Shkoyah, thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you, everybody.
So, Rabbi, quick question.
Yeah.
So, are we saying right now where we're holding is that, first of all, there's machlokas whether if it's equal amount of open space and closed space, is it good? And now we're saying that with the Eitzah of Sukkah, that it should be perpendicular, so it'll be overhang. So now it seems we're saying that, no, equal is not good. It's got to be a little bit extra closure than openness. Is that what we're saying?
We're saying we haven't concluded that, but a way that for sure is good is if you have them overlapping a little bit, because you switch directions, then you'll for sure wind up with it being a majority one way. So
everybody would agree with that, yeah.
Right. So this is just a way to avoid the machloket. This is what you should do. But it hasn't. We haven't concluded yet. We still have a whole bunch more proofs left on the next.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a good day.
You as well.